Good morning. Thank you for joining us at Calvary Baptist Church. If you wouldn't mind, stand with me and sing this morning. I sing a new song. I sing a new song since Jesus came. Serve a new master, wear a new name, walk a new road, have a new goal, know a new peace down deep in my soul. Sing that through with me one more time. I sing a new song since Jesus came. Serve a new master, wear a new name, walk a new road, have a new goal, know a new peace down deep in my soul.
Amen. Good to see you this morning, and trust that you had a great week. And what a great way to start off a new week by worshiping the Lord together. And we want to just remain standing and pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon this hour. Father, we thank you so much today for the new song that you put in our heart that day when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. You gave us not only a new song, a new direction, you gave us new hope and peace. And we thank you for all of those things that we have when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we praise you for the opportunity that we have this morning to worship you, and help us not to take this freedom that we have for granted. We thank you for our country and ask that you would continue to do a work of healing, not only physically, but spiritually in our country. And we thank you for each and every one that is here this morning. And may you work in each heart and each life. We know that each of us have a purpose. You have us here for a reason, even this morning. We're not here on accident. And I would ask that you would work deeply in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Sing with me again this morning, The Power of the Cross. To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Oh, to see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought, every evil deed, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life, finish the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. Won through your selfless love, this the power of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost, we stand forgiven at the cross. Great singing again on that song. Sing with me again. Amazing grace, my chains are gone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Lift it up on the chorus. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. On the chorus, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Great singing this morning. If you wouldn't mind, sing with me again. Draw Me Near is our last song this morning.
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
On the second,
consecrate now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. On my soul the cup with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
On this last verse, as we get to the chorus, I want the piano to drop out and we're going to sing this a cappella. Here we go.
There are depths of I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee.
Watch me.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Great singing this morning.
Amen. And you make a great, great, great choir. Take your Bibles with me, if you would, for our scripture reading this morning to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And we want to look at verse number 11 through verse number 15. When you find it, would you please stand out of reverence for the Word of God? Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 through verse number 15. And good to see you this morning, and trust that God's Word will really do a work in our hearts and lives. Revelation chapter 20, follow along now as I read, starting at verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Would you pray? Father, I do thank You this morning for the opportunity that we have to allow Your Word to speak to our hearts. Your Word is powerful. It is alive. And it pierces even a dividing of sunder in soul and in spirit, and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of our heart. May You do a deep and abiding work now in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Oh, becoming more like Jesus feels like dying deep inside. And sometimes I guess that's truly what it is. 'Cause He's calling me to lay aside my selfishness and pride, so He can mold my heart and make it more like His. And lately I've been seeing more each day the wisdom and new wonders of His grace. Just as I am, I ran to Him and mercy took me in. Just as I am, and He forgave my sin. Oh, the way He's changing my heart proves that He loves me too much to leave me just as I am. My heart is simply clay within the potter's skillful hands. Even though sometimes the change, it frightens me. For I want the truth attitudes. They're all His to change as He wants to. Just as I am, I ran to Him and mercy took me in. Just as I am, and He forgave my sin. All the ways changing my heart proves that He loves me too much to leave me just as I am. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, I ran to Him and mercy took me in. Just as I am, and He forgave my sin. All the way He's changing my heart proves that He loves me too much to leave me just as I am. To leave me just as I am.
Amen. Just as I am, He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Aren't you glad of that this morning? Appreciate that, Brady and Jenny. Revelation chapter 20 this morning, verse 11 through verse number 15. About 3-4 years ago, my wife and I visited the building that houses the highest court in the United States. That is the U.S. Supreme Court. It was as august as you think it would be. We didn't get to see any of the judges that day, but we got to go and see various rooms and so forth where they do conduct their business. And as you know, through the years, many decisions have come down from the United States Supreme Court. But did you know that there is a higher court than the Supreme Court, and it is known as God's Supreme Court? It will be a court where all the unsaved will stand. God will judge the unsaved of all of the earth, and it will be a very sobering time. Many do not want to think about eternity. In fact, ever since the fall of man, Satan has tried to deceive people about the reality of coming judgment. He has tried to convince people that they can live as they want to live without fear of accountability and future judgment. The mindset of some is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die. But ladies and gentlemen, I would tell you this morning that there is coming a day when all of the unsaved will stand at the judgment of God. And it will be, again, a very sobering time. One preacher said, modern man is betting his eternal destiny that there is no final judgment. But listen carefully to the word of God, Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let me repeat that. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And today we will think about eternity and what it will mean for people to stand in God's Supreme Court and how this can affect us even today. Would you notice in verse number 11, we have a scene of exaltation. Note the verse again. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. We see in this text that this is a scene with a throne, and it is a throne of authority. For the Bible calls it a great throne. The Word of God says in Psalm 9 and verse number 7, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." It is also a throne of purity. For it is described not only as a great throne, but it is described as a white throne, which speaks of purity and holiness of the one on the throne. Go with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, we have a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 13, "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice was as the voice of a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." So as you go back to Revelation 20, you see here that John said, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, the Lord Jesus Christ, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." You see, the Bible says in John 5 and verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." In Acts 17, 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man Jesus, whom he hath ordained." And so we see that one day the unsaved will stand before the great white throne because they have rejected a great salvation and now stand before the great judge. Because understand, if in this life you do not meet Jesus as Savior, you will stand before him as judge. And we find in this context of Scripture that this scene starts off with a scene of exaltation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord willing, next week I will preach a message as the Lord leads me on a place called heaven, and how that we will be in the very presence of the Lord. And the Bible gives many descriptions about the place called heaven, but may I say that the greatest of all will be able to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and look upon him face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face. What will it be? And so John sees this great august moment, in which it is a very sobering moment. The millennium has now passed. That thousand-year reign of Christ now has passed. And before there is a new heaven and there is a new earth, God will have one final judgment, and it is called the great white throne. And so we see this scene of exaltation. But notice, it is also a scene of examination. Look now at verse number 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened." Verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." So as unsaved man stands there, and by the way, every man will give an account of himself before God. And we find in this context that there is this group of unsaved people, a group of sinners. Think about who could be some of those sinners that will stand before this great white throne judgment. It will be those who are out and out sinners. who had no need of God in their life, who were not interested in the things of God, who never darkened the door of a church, who never even allowed God to be in their thoughts. Go to chapter 21 and look at verse number 8, where the Bible says here, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So there will be out and out sinners. There will be self-righteous sinners. People who, through their life, said, "You know, I've never murdered anybody. I've never drank. I've never smoked. I never did drugs. I'm not as bad as all those other people are." And yet, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. And yet, in that group of unsaved people will be the self-righteous sinners. Then in that group of people will be procrastinators who heard a message similar to what I'm preaching here this morning and heard the call to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And they said, "Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow." And yet the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time." And yet they heard that and said, "Not now, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow." I remember one time asking a man, I said, "Why don't you get saved now? You know you ought to be saved. I can't explain it any clearer to you." And he said, "I've still got more sinning I want to do. But when I do that, when I'm done with that, then I will get saved. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow." And sadly, standing before God in that group of unsaved people will be people just like that who said, "One day, one day, one day, I'll get saved." But one day never came, and it'll be too late. Also in that group of people will be unsaved church members, professing believers, professing church members who went through the motions, who said, I prayed a prayer, who said, I went to church. But yet at that scene will be people who went to a church just like this church or a church like it, yes, throughout this world, people who sit in church just like this one, and sadly, they will be at this particular judgment because they went through the motions, but there was never no true heart transformation. There was no true life transformation. They just said a prayer. Listen carefully. Just saying a prayer doesn't save you. Nowhere in the Bible does it say just pray a prayer and you magically are going to go to heaven. Yes, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But when you call on the name of the Lord, you are saying, "I believe in his death. I believe in his burial. I believe in his resurrection. I believe that he is the only way to heaven. And I put my faith, my trust, my all in him." And when that takes place in your life, true salvation happens. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So yes, sadly, at that great white throne judgment will be people who were part of a church somewhere. They knew the words, they knew the Christianese, they knew how to give you the right answers. They had the head knowledge, but the heart was never changed. You see, this is a sobering moment. And we find here that John sees these people gathered around the throne, standing before God, and the books were open. This judgment is centered around a set of books. Stay with me now. In verse number 12, there are what I call God's record books. What is recorded in these books? I think I can help with that this morning by directing your mind to some verses of Scripture. One, there will be the record of every action of the sinner. Luke 8:17 says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every good work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." You see, probably even in a congregation like this, you have some secrets that you don't want anybody to know about. But may I say that for the unsaved sinner, nobody on this earth may know, but one day when those books are open, God is going to reveal every action that you thought was hidden. It might have been hidden to man, but it was not hidden before God. Now think about this. Not only the record of every action of the sinner, but every word. Every word. The Bible says in Matthew 12:37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. God records every word. That blasphemous word. That word that spoke against Jesus Christ, that word that blasphemed his name and cursed his name and took his name in vain. One day, that word will be revealed. Now think about this. Every thought of the sinner. Every thought of the sinner. The Bible says in Psalm 44 and verse 21, "Shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." The Bible says in Romans 2:16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." So every word, every action, every thought of the sinner will be made known at that time. That which man thought was hidden, that nobody knew about, God knows about it. It cannot be hidden. He, the Bible says, he is able to look down from heaven upon mankind and see the action, hear the words, and see and know their thoughts. The Bible says that God understands our thoughts afar off. And so the books are opened. But notice in verse 13, there is another book opened. It is God's register book. It is the book of life. In verse number 12, he says, "And another book was opened, which is the book of life." Right now in our country, you probably received it by mail like we did. But we are going through a census in our country. I think we do this about every 10 years and update our records and so forth. And there's reasons for this that we'll not get into. But they take a census. And one, it gives the people the ability to say this is actually how many people live in the United States of America, as best as we know. Well, may I say that God himself has a census book. He has a register book. It is called the Book of Life. Now, I'll get to this more in just a moment. But we see books are open that show the actions, the thoughts, the deeds of man. And then there is the Book of Life that will be opened. So there is this scene of exaltation. But notice also, thirdly, there is a scene of condemnation. Look in verse number 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So church, listen carefully on this. This is a scene of condemnation. All sinners now standing before God. All of those who knew not Jesus as Savior. There will be a factual condemnation. This judgment rendered by the Lord Jesus Christ is based on a clear set of facts that the sinner will not be able to argue against. The sentence will be clear. The judgment will be based on a set of facts. The books are open. The book of life will be open. And according to verse number 15, there will be this fateful condemnation. For he says in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the book of God's elect, was cast into the lake of fire. So here is unsaved man, unsaved woman, standing before God. This is a great Supreme Court, if you would. And we find that their name is not written in the book of life. What a sobering moment. What a frightening moment as I think about this. I think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, that there will be many in that day. That's what it says in Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Lord, that was me. They will hear some of the most haunting words through all of eternity. Depart from me. I never knew you. You were never one of mine. You could talk the talk, but you couldn't walk the talk. You couldn't live it. You really didn't have me as your personal Lord and Savior. Depart, depart. Depart from me. Someone has described hell that it is at the end of a Christless life. In Matthew 25 and verse 41, Jesus says, depart from me into everlasting fire. When I think about that, how Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? Didn't we pray? Didn't we tithe? Didn't we do this? And they were just going through the motions. They knew the language, and the Lord says, depart from me. When I think about that, I think about 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Let me ask you, church family, do you know, and do you have, if I came up to you right now and said, Brady, do you know that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven, could you give me a Bible reason? Carol, could you give me a Bible reason? You see, the point is this. It's not that we went through the motions. It's not that we knew the right answers to give on a test. But has my life truly been transformed by the amazing grace of God? I'm not trying to talk you, church, out of salvation. If I could talk you out of it, you never had it to begin with. But listen carefully. Sometimes Christians go through some valleys of doubt about their salvation. And if you are one of those individuals this morning, nail it down. Nail it down. I went through 5 years of doubt myself, and I can't tell you why I did. I just did. And praise God, at the age of 14, I got it nailed down. I no longer said, well, I said a prayer. No, I know that I know that I know, based on the authority of the Word of God, that I am saved. And you this morning, if you are relying on, well, Mom, when was I saved? Listen, Mom isn't the indicator of your salvation. The Holy Spirit of God is. Can you articulate a clear presentation of the gospel? Lord, I know I'm saved, and here's why I know it. Say, Pastor, why are you mentioning this so heavily this morning? Because, listen, there will be people that will stand at that judgment sitting in churches just like this one who thought I was saved. Who thought I knew the language, I knew the lingo, but I didn't have it. Jesus says, by their fruit, you shall know them. Do you have the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life? The fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance? Do you have any of that kind of fruit in your life? If you don't, question yourself, am I truly then saved? Because a true child of God bears fruit. That's just so evident in Scripture. And at that day, there will be some false professors who will stand at that judgment. And Jesus says, I want you to depart from me. You were never one of mine. You were lost the whole time. I think about, and we've had this experience here in our church, and maybe you know of people who have had this kind of experience where they prayed and asked Jesus to save them, or so they said when they were a child, but they really couldn't understand what they did. They couldn't tell you what sin was, and so forth. And then later, as they became a teenager, they said, you know what? I'm not saved. I can't remember what I prayed. I can't remember what I did. I'm lost, and I need Jesus. Because you see, many times, here's what we do when we give a testimony. We look back. But if you study carefully the Word of God, it's looking at your life in the present. What's your life like now? Oh, to be sure, there has to be a starting point. But does the present reveal that there was a starting point? Does the present reveal that I am in Christ? On this fateful day, there will be those who will stand there before the Lord, and He will say to them, depart from me. Because you see, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. This will be a trial like no other that ever has been. There will be a prosecutor, but no defender. An accuser, but no advocate. There will be an indictment, but no defense mounted by the accused. The convicting evidence will be presented with no rebuttal or cross-examination. There will be an utterly unsympathetic judge and no jury, and there will be no appeal of the sentence he pronounces. There will be no drop of mercy, no drop of grace, no mistrial. The guilty will be punished eternally with no possibility of parole in a prison from which there is no escape. A scene of condemnation. Now, church family, I'm not going to be there. I don't say that bragging. I say that because of the amazing grace of God in my life. And He said in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. When you're in Christ, you will never face condemnation. Never. Oh, thank God for that this morning. But may I say, it breaks my heart. Because I know individuals that if they don't get saved and they die in their sin, that they are going to stand at this great white throne before the Lord Jesus Christ and hear those fateful words, depart, I never knew you. Doesn't that break your heart? You have coworkers, you have friends you are praying for, and today you realize that if they die without Christ, they die and go to a place called hell, and there they will be forever. We understand this. We know this. And while we say praise God this morning and thank you, God, that I will not stand at this judgment, I know some people that will if they don't get saved. And today, if you are here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, then today put your trust and faith in Jesus. He's the only way to heaven. He always has been. He always will be. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. This morning, Christians, do we care enough to go and warn others? Do we care enough to go and tell others of the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I think about how this week, as Joel and I were out handing out hangers, inviting people, he had the unusual, I shouldn't say it was unusual, I call it sad, response. Here it is. I'm not interested. I say this with all the compassion in my heart as I think about those unsaved people that will be there at that day. I can't help but think they will have it revealed to them in those books. Hey, you remember those two men that stopped at your door? They just simply wanted to invite you to church and tell you about Jesus, but you said, I'm not interested, I'm not interested, I'm not interested. And now that you are, it's too late. It's too late. There's no more chances. There's no more opportunities. This is it. I wish I could, and I know you do too, that we could make these decisions for people. But we can't. Hey, but I'm also thankful for those that God has allowed over the years for me personally to tell of the gospel and see them cry out and say, Lord, save me. I give God the glory for that, not me. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to be used of the Lord. But all glory goes to Him. He does the saving. But we got to do the telling and leave the results with God. So yes, there is coming a great white throne judgment. I wondered this morning in your life, can you say, by the grace of God, I will not stand there? If you can't say that, if you're struggling with doubts about your salvation, then today, get it settled. Today, take God's word and hold on to that promise, because Satan loves to get us to doubt. God wants us to be able to say, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Child of God, this morning in your life today, how long has it been since you told anybody of Jesus? Hey, you have relatives that sadly one day may stand at this judgment. You have neighbors. You have coworkers. You have school friends that possibly one day will stand at this judgment. May God move us to go out and tell them that there is hope in Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would there be some here this morning who would say, Pastor, I do not know with great certainty that Jesus is my Savior. I don't know that. Not with great certainty. And today, I need to get it nailed down. Today, I need to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't want to wait and stand before the Lord at the great white throne. Today, I hear His voice through the Word. Today, I realize I'm lost. I need Jesus. Pray. Amen of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen 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 of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen